What a great surprise. I wasn't expecting to see quite so many people as we've had already this morning, because we have 45 women off on retreat this weekend. 45 women with Shailene. They're off on retreat at Warm Beach. 45 women, and if that means there are 30 husbands who probably figured wouldn't be coming to church today either. But thank you for being here. Really honored by your presence. It's good for us to be together. What are we going to be talking about this morning? We're going to be talking about God's relationship with us, and in turn, the relationship that we have with our Creator. The sermon will be practical, I think, and comforting, I hope. So let me ask you, where is God in your life? How is God active? How do you see God being active? I think sometimes we wonder, do we not, exactly what God's up to? God's movement, or perhaps God's lack of movement, seems very mysterious to us. Sometimes we say our prayers and say our prayers and say our prayers, and all we hear is silence, and we wonder, is God involved day to day in your life? And if so, how? How is God active? How is God moving? And as we progress with the sermon, we'll try to come up with a metaphor that might help us to better understand the unique relationship that God has with us. Now, a related question for this morning would be, what is it that God desires for us? If God has hopes and dreams for us, as you might for your children or grandchildren, what exactly are those hopes and dreams? The Bible helps us with those questions, questions that have been pondered by people of faith for thousands of years. So let's start with this question out of the Old Testament. What does the Lord require of you? That, of course, comes out of the book of Micah, and it answers the question for us. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Now you look at that. What does the Lord require of you? You see that there. And what's the most important word there? The most important word in that sentence is not the one maybe that initially catches your eye. The most important word in that sentence is your. That simple word speaks about relationship. Your God. God is not some far off, detached, and distant force. No, God is yours. It's personal. It's about relationship. Your God, like your mother or your teacher or your bicycle or your toothbrush. It's about relationship. You belong to each other. Your God. This simple word allows us to trust the advice that precedes it. Now, one of the keys to thriving and surviving in this world has to do with sorting out the many voices that are calling for your attention. There are a lot of people out there who will offer you lots of advice. Your job is to make sure that you only listen to those who have your best interest at heart. There are lots of infomercials out there and scams and fraternity boys out there. There are people who will advise you on the best places to put your money. But most of them are looking out for themselves, not you. Take advice from people who are successful and honest and trustworthy. And if you are not sure that those advising you are people of integrity, then you're better to just move on. The word your identifies God and speaks of the relationship you have with the one who gave you life. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Now, on the surface, that does not seem all that complicated. If you build your life on that three-legged stool, if your core values in life are justice and kindness and humility, then you will enjoy a life that is rich. You will be respected and honored among your peers. You see, this formula has not changed throughout all of human history. If you build your life upon a foundation of justice and kindness and humility, then your life will be abundant, is a promise from God. Now, I must be very clear about that, though. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees that you're going to live to be 100 years old or even 50 years old. People of justice and kindness and humility sometimes die young. And abundant life, as it is understood in Scripture, is not synonymous with lots of money. People of justice and kindness and humility sometimes are not rich in possessions and may even be poor. But if you live your life as Jesus taught you to live, then your life will be abundant. There'll be an abundance of the things that really matter. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God, as in relationship. Now let's ask another related question. What does the Lord, your God, desire for you? Jesus answered this one for us in John 10:10. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life, that's all. Abundant life, that is all that God desires for us and for our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and the children of God in every corner of the world. Now, the requirement you see here, in fact, every law in the Old Testament and every rule and every parable and every teaching of Jesus had but one goal: abundant life for you and your family and for the larger human family. Now, in about an hour from now, at this baptismal font, four young women in our parish are going to gather there. They've been there before. They were carried here as infants or children. And they have been largely carried and cared for ever since. And so it should be. For God entrusted them to parents and siblings, to aunts and uncles, to grandparents. God entrusted their care to other humans, and those humans carried them here to the waters of the Jordan. They were carried here, and on the day that they were baptized, these tiny liabilities were entrusted to us. Liabilities, that's what they were. Liabilities with an almost unlimited potential, but liabilities just the same. They offered us nothing. They offered nothing to the church but hope. Hope for the future. They were long-term investments who needed their diapers changed, needed to be fed. They cried and spit up on us. They kept mom and dad up in the middle of the night. On the day that they were baptized, this congregation promised to care for them and nurture them, to pray for them and bake for them, to buy their Girl Scout cookies, to support their band trips, and to save for their college educations. We promised to have a safe nursery and a loving Sunday school and vacation Bible school and Smarties to throw out, little sugar high for them. They were carried and they were cared for. Our young people have been carried and cared for, but this day marks a new beginning for these young women. The rite of passage will accelerate their passage into adulthood. Now, of course, we know that there will be times in the journey ahead when they're going to be needed once again to be carried, to have skinned needs soothed. But it's more likely now, or someday very soon, that they will be carrying us. They are the present and they are the future of the church. They are the present and they are the future of our society. Carried and cared for. From this day on, they will be finding their way to adulthood. They will be carrying and caring for others. And as we think about their lives, what is it that God desires for them? Abundant life. That's all. God doesn't care if they choose to be the butcher or the baker or the candlestick maker. God only cares that they are healthy physically, mentally, and spiritually. God does not care who you love. God only cares that you love, and that when you love with integrity. God desires only abundant life, a life lived out in community as we see today in relationship with family members and neighbors and friends and strangers. And that is most likely to happen if we seek justice, love kindness, and embrace an uncommon humility. Our young people have been carried and cared for, but that's about to change. Going forward from this day, the quality of their lives, and might I add, the quality of our lives, will be determined largely by the daily decisions that we make. You know, life is a series of really small decisions with just an occasional big decision thrown in. Small decisions. Will I make the bed this morning? Will I do my homework? Will I go to school or skip? Will I eat food that's good for me? Will I spend or will I save? Will I drive the speed limit or not? Will I be kind to my brother? The number one determining factor in how your life will play out going forward, for better or for worse, will be found in the choices. The choices that you make and I make every day. You see, you are in charge. You make the choices. And as we were reminded in that Old Testament text, God encourages us to choose life, to choose the abundant life that God desires for us. God, your God, my God, our God, where is God in this whole equation? Well, God is present. God is with you every step of the way. God's love for you will never fail. It will never falter. And God's love for you is not dependent upon you loving God in return. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do that will make God love you less. So what is God up to? Well, God gave you your life and this planet and your family and the community. It's all a gift to you from your God. And that God only desires good for you. But God will not live your life for you. God walks with you, but God will not protect you from experiencing the consequences of your actions, the natural consequences that come from the life choices that you make. Drink and drive, and you're going to jail, or you're going to die. And it's not God's plan, it's your choice. Smoke, and you're more likely to get cancer. That's not God's plan. God will still love you in the midst of it, but that's your choice, and you live with the consequences. If you decide to forego college and spend your days at the Emerald Queen Casino, well, good luck with that. That's not God's plan, but you're free to choose that, and you'll live with the consequences. You see, God walks with you, but God will not protect you from natural disaster or from the free will decisions of those who betray you or hurt you. The world is a dangerous place. It's random, and sometimes the best people suffer the most. But they never suffer alone. God is with them. God will guide you, but God will not walk for you. God will advise you through scripture and sermons and friends who care about you. God will guide you, but God will not make the decisions for you. God will give you the opportunity, but you must walk through the door. God will give you the tools, but you must swing the hammer. God will give you GPS, but you can ignore it or not turn it on, and then God will always be with you, reconfiguring, 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 trying to get you back going in the right direction. See, God gave you life, and in that moment, a partnership began. You're not a puppet. No, you're a partner with God in the abundant life that God desires for you. And make no mistake about it, you are the primary writer of your story. Where is God in your life? What does God's movement look like? What metaphor would help us to understand God's place in our lives, the lives of prodigal daughters and prodigal sons? So I'd like to end by reading a book to you that we're giving to our four young women this morning who are affirming their baptisms. You've probably heard it before. Settle in, you're going to hear it again. It will be projected for you as well, children. So come on up, and I'm going to read to you The Runaway Bunny. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I'm running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on a mountain high above you." "If you become a rock on a mountain high above me," said his mother, "I will become a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are." "If you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus in a hidden garden." "If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be the gardener, and I will find you." "If you become the gardener and find me," said the little bunny, "I will be a bird, and I will fly away from you." "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will become a little sailboat, and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind, and I will blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind and blow me where you want me to go," said the little bunny, "I will join the circus and fly away on a flying trapeze." "If you go flying on a flying trapeze," said his mother, "I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you." "If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air," said the little bunny, "I will become a little boy and run into a house." "If you become a little boy and run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you." "Shucks," said the little bunny, "I guess I might as well just stay where I am and be your little bunny." And so he did. And the mother bunny said, "Have a carrot." This is God, you see. This is your metaphor to take out from this place this morning. God is the mother bunny, a companion, not a judge, a gentle presence, not an executioner. God does not wish to ground you or put you in time out or punish you. God is not there to shame you. God just wants you to be safe and healthy. God just wants you to come home, home where prodigal girls and boys are always welcome. And in the end, no matter how far you run, no matter where you wander off to, wherever you find yourself in life or in death, the mother bunny will be there. So have a carrot. It's the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and we'll sing our hymn of the day. Will you come?